Hi, Michaela Lafrac here. The podcast you are about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. Anecdotally, many Vermonters feel less safe than they used to. These conversations are going on around dinner tables, on Facebook, at the office. Maybe you've been a part of them. And in many towns and cities, there has been an uptick in crime. But the root causes of that uptick aren't so easy to pin down. Later in the show, we're going to spend some time with the outgoing and incoming leaders of the Groundworks Collaborative, a Brattleboro shelter and resource center for people experiencing hunger and homelessness. Groundworks has been in a state of grief and transition since one of its shelter employees was killed in April. But first, a string of 7 homicides and a suspicious death in different parts of the state have left many Vermonters feeling on edge. All 7 of the confirmed homicides were gun deaths. So far, arrests have been made in 2 of them. Most recently, a Burlington 14-year-old has been charged with second-degree murder. Following these stories is public safety reporter Liam Elder Connors. Liam, thanks for being here.
Hi, Michaela.
Now, Liam, Vermont State Police say these homicides don't appear to be connected, but the number does feel more than usual. So how do these this year's homicide numbers compare to past years?
If we go back a couple of years to 2021, there were 9 homicides in the entire state. But starting last year in 2022, there were 25 homicides. And so far this year, there have been 21. So the last 2 years, we have seen a pretty dramatic uptick compared to what we were at 3 years ago in 2021. Now, I think what's going on right now specifically was in October, we saw 7 homicides and 1 suspicious death. And law enforcement officials I've spoken to have said that that number, that string of homicides all happening in a pretty close proximity to each other is very unusual and just isn't something that has happened very much in Vermont. State police, some of the people investigating said they haven't even seen this many in their careers. So that aspect, the number of homicides in one particular month, is fairly unusual.
So Vermont State Police, are they investigating all of these crimes, or are different local, maybe even national bureaus part of these investigations?
So currently, the homicides that we're looking at in Vermont, the ones in October, state police are investigating all of those. For the whole year, state police are actually and have been the lead agency on many of those cases. There have been 2 in Rutland that Rutland police are handling, and there have also been 1 homicide each in Burlington, in Brattleboro, and 1 other local agency as well that I just off the top of my head can't grab. So state police are handling a lot of them, though.
Mm. And have you reached out to Vermont State Police? What have you heard from them?
Yeah, so state police say that they are, investigating these cases that have happened in October. And, homicides are pretty complicated investigations. There's always a lot of leads to chase down, witnesses to try to talk to, evidence to collect. And state police are saying they're stretched pretty thin by the volume of homicides that they've been investigating in October. And it's been tough to just process all that evidence quickly and sort of move along with these cases. I spoke to Colonel Matthew Birmingham, who's the commander of the state police, and he said that the state police also have a staffing shortage. There's a 15% vacancy rate at VSP right now, and that's meaning they're having to pull people in from other parts of the agency.
We've had to reallocate other resources from the state police into the major crime unit to assist with some ancillary duties and some primary duties, including detectives from our Bureau of Criminal Investigation and even troopers from our uniform or field force division.
Birmingham said that all of the homicides that are currently under investigation in the state, they're still being investigated thoroughly and they're confident that they'll make progress on them, but it's just taking a bit longer because of those stretched resources.
Mm. Now, Liam, one of the elements here that might feel a bit different to folks hearing about these homicides is the number of incidents involving young people. What do we know about this recent shooting in Bristol involving a 14-year-old?
Yeah. So according to the affidavit of probable cause that was filed in that case, the defendant was waving around a loaded pistol in a car when it went off and shot Madden Gouveia. Gouveia is also 14 and he died of his injuries. The defendant allegedly said, according to the court records, "I didn't mean to shoot you," after the gun went off. Mm-hmm. And the defendant's been charged with second degree murder. That was a charge brought by Addison County State's Attorney Eva Vekos. And if convicted, he could face life in prison. These are pretty serious charges. He's pleaded not guilty, but it's an unusual case. He's 14 years old. He's been charged as an adult. Now, state law says a 14-year-old who's charged with murder can only be charged in adult court. There's no option to charge to put that in family court. But it's been a long time. I can't think of another case where someone as young as 14 has been charged with such a serious crime.
Mm. Now, there has been a lot of information reported about the 14-year-old who's been charged with this crime. What exactly are the rules and the codes of conduct around sharing information on minors, and how has that impacted your reporting?
Yeah, so you know, it's a lot of guidance. I wouldn't say there's ironclad rules.
Sure.
You know, right now Vermont Public hasn't named the juvenile who's been accused of murder in this case. And that's a decision that we made after talking about it and sort of thinking about some of the ethical implications. And I think it's always a bit of a balancing test as a journalist. On the one hand, we want to try to to give the public as much information as we know about a particular situation. But at the same time, in this situation where we're dealing with somebody who is so young, you know, juveniles also have there's a higher degree of privacy rights that we would generally give to a juvenile. And so weighing those two things against each other, right now we've decided not to name this 14-year-old. Some of the questions that I ask myself when we're looking at this is, what's my journalistic purpose in identifying a youth who's been accused of a crime? You know, have the police published the name? What is the harm that could be caused to the juvenile by publishing their name? What's the harm caused to the public by withholding their name? Mm. And all of these sorts of questions are asked to kind of balance how much information should we be putting out at this time. And we can always publish the name, but we can't really retract the name. So I think for the moment, we've decided we're not going to, just based on some of the facts of the case so far and where it could develop. So we've other outlets have published the name, but that's not a decision we have made at this time.
Mm. Well, it's a particularly heartbreaking case and unique in some ways. It also reminds me of a case from earlier this year when police say that a juvenile shot and killed a 48-year-old person. Liam, what do we know about that case? And do you see it being handled differently than this most recent homicide involving a minor?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's the same state's attorney who's involved in that one. The shooting took place in Waltham, which is also in Addison County. So the same state's attorney who charged this 14-year-old is also in charge of making a decision in this case. And so far, that one is still under investigation. The facts that we know so far, according to police, 48-year-old Michelle Kilbreth was shot and killed by a juvenile after she got in a fight with another woman. According to police, Kilbreth had a handgun and she lost possession of it during this fight, and the juvenile picked it up and shot her. So, you know, a bit of a different situation, perhaps. There haven't been any charges filed in that. And State's Attorney Eva Vekos has said that, you know, the juvenile in that case is a lot younger than 14, and there were other extenuating circumstances. But she's declined to comment further about why she charged the 14-year-old in the Bristol shooting, but hasn't made a decision in the Waltham shooting. So we're kind of waiting and seeing what will happen there.
Mm. Now, Liam, in early October, a former dean at Castleton University was shot and killed while on a walk on the rail trail. And police around the time put out a sketch of the suspect in that case. Are there any developments?
You know, that's really the last major development that we saw was the release of the sketch of the suspect. You know, police are still investigating, chasing down leads, you know, doing things of that nature, but there hasn't been anything new that has come out in that case in the last couple of weeks.
Mm. Well, I did hear that last week Governor Phil Scott spoke about these homicides and the concerns that many Vermonters have upon reading about them. Here he is talking about it at a press conference recently.
The common thread I see is the drug trafficking. And I think that we've seen that previously. We saw that in Brookfield and a number of other cases. And I think that we'll see when they get through the investigation that there may be a connection with some of these, not all of them, but some of these that we've seen this month.
Liam, have state police, or as you're reporting, backed up this idea that there may be an underlying connection between some of these shootings, the ones that have happened this fall?
Yeah. So, I mean, all of the incidents, according to police, are isolated incidents. Whether or not drugs might be an underlying factor in a number of those cases is still up in the air, as under investigation. What we do know is that in one of the killings where suspects have been arrested, that is the killing of Jeffrey Caron, who was found in Plainfield. That case appears to involve drugs, according to the charging documents.
Mm. Now, you have been reporting on crime in Vermont for years now. Liam, does anything about this moment that we're in feel different to you?
You know, I think about that. I think the last month, it's just really that number of cases that have happened in such a short period of time, you know, and that is always unsettling. And the fact that there haven't been arrests made in a lot of them, I think, is also potentially unnerving for folks out there. But, you know, I also think a lot of them have happened in more rural areas, which is also maybe a little bit different. You know, last year there were a number of shootings in Burlington, not all of them fatal, but sort of seeing some more of these incidents playing out in rural and smaller areas seems a bit different as well. But until there's more information and more arrests are made, and we sort of see a little bit more of what state police are looking into right now, it's kind of hard for me to draw like huge conclusions about what's been going on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, on that note, Liam, you know, to pull back the curtain a little bit more on our work here at Vermont Public and Vermont Edition, I feel like we have conversations all the time about if and how to report on specific crimes, and in this case, homicides, in a way that is providing value to the public, to the communities that they affect, while also not, you know, creating a undue sense of panic or drawing causation where there shouldn't be any. And, you know, this moment that we appear to be in right now, it feels like that it's particularly hard to walk that line. I'm wondering if you might have any, I don't know, thoughts or guidance on that for people who are kind of consuming news right now and hearing about all these terrible events that are going on and might be, you know, have an instinct to put some threads together.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's a hard thing to do. I'm trying to look at all of these cases individually for right now and trying to, you know, do the reporting, see what the reporting bears out. That means talking to law enforcement, ideally talking to victims' families, people that have been accused of these crimes, trying to get as much information as possible to put them together. So, you know, I think for me, it is a matter of trying to take them one at a time right now and then stepping back a little bit to see, are there any overarching things? And, you know, is an overarching issue, you know, it might not be that these are not happening because of the same person, but what are some larger social or cultural things that might be driving some of what's been going on? And maybe there's not something. We don't have a ton of information right now about a lot of these recent homicides in October. And so I think some of it is also trying to be a little bit patient and trying to wait a little bit to get more information before jumping to any conclusions. Mm-hmm.
Well, Liam, I certainly appreciate all your reporting that you've done on these cases. Liam Elder Connors is the public safety reporter for Vermont Public. Liam, thank you for joining us.
You bet.